Shirley and I will be, thank you, 2 days from now, we'll be about 4,000 miles out over the ocean on our way to Thailand to spend 2 months there. And, you know, the people will change, the worship team changes, and whatever, but the ministry stays the same. And one person said after this past encounter that our ministry is a ministry of the latter rain. And because it brings life, it brings the blooming. And so I want to keep that in mind as we go. Now, that's the story for the future, but every story has a backstory. And it's really the backstory where God is at work. And so I was asking, Lord, what is the word that gives me, ushers me into the backstory? And the word that came to me was magnify. Magnify. And Pastor Steve, last Christmas time, gave us the Christmas story, and he quoted what Mary said in her song in Luke chapter 1, and she said, my soul magnifies the Lord. A few months before that, I was listening to Graham Cook, and he talked about how our soul magnifies our lives. And we can magnify a moment. We can magnify an event, a time. I think Mary here was magnifying to the degree of how God sees things. And she was just taking in, she was getting outside of herself into the lap of God and seeing what God sees from his place. So each of us have different seasons in our life. And so I want to talk about how we magnify a season in our life. A few weeks ago, we had Pastor Rufus preaching here. And one thing that he did at the end of the service, which I thought was revealed so much, was that he said, let everyone who's 55 and over come on up to the stage. Well, we didn't need to take a head count. I mean, it was very obvious that 90% came up to the front of the stage. Says, yes, so that told me we are not a few. We are not a few. So, what I want to say is really directed firstly to you folks, but then also to those that are moving towards that season in their life. I found that in order for me to evenly move into my different seasons of life, I need three things. I need the heart of the Father, the mind of Christ, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if I have those in balanced amounts, I can move confidently from one season to another. When we get into our vintage age 55 and over, what do we hear about? We hear about retirement strategies. And, you know, you see it every place you read. You go on your computer, and all kinds of strategies. Where to live, what to do with your retirement money. There was even one that said, which I thought was kind of humorous, affordable living in paradise. So, and that would be a great sermon sometime, okay? How much does it cost you to live in paradise? So I went to, I wasn't going to find the answer there. I went to Vine's expository, and I typed in retirement. I kind of knew what came up. No results. There is no retirement in the Bible. So I said, well, let's look for another R word. Okay, how about race? Wow, well, immediately popped up two verses, and these two verses we all have heard before, and we've meditated on them before. I'd like to magnify them and bring them into focus right now. One is Hebrews 12:1. If you could put it up in the back, in back of me, but I'm going to go ahead and read it for the sake of time. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, when you first read this verse and you say, well, what is this cloud of witnesses? Okay, and most people say, well, of course, that is the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the cloud of witnesses. Okay, and that's what we mostly think of it as. But because we have the Holy Spirit here, I feel that we can go beyond that, okay, and extend that in a godly way to look at it a different way. Okay. I think that this cloud of witnesses is all the people that will be touched by you. Okay. Every person, starting with your family, but going beyond your children, beyond their children, beyond people you will never see here on earth, but you will see in heaven. Every person that you have witnessed to, that you have spoke healing over, that is the cloud of witnesses that they're speaking of. And so, what are they telling us? They tell, throw off everything that hinders. Okay, so if we think about our grouping of people here, what are the things that worry us? What are the things that hinder us? It's the things that we think about, that the world wants us to think about, our retirement. But there is no word retirement. It's a race. Because thinking about these things will entangle us. It will confuse us. And so we can't focus on it. We think about it. We plan for it. But that can't be our focus. When we run with perseverance. We don't give up. It's not going to be a straight line run. It's more like a cross-country run, you know? There's going to be ups and downs and whatever. It's not an oval track run. And that the race has been marked out in front of us. In other words, we can be confident that God is already there. He orders our steps so that we, even though it's a cross-country run, he has already laid it out, and we know the course that we are running. Second verse is 1 Corinthians 9:24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? And here's the clincher. So run to win. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about running against each other. We're really talking about running against the woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, when we come before the Lord, I think the worst thing that we could say to the Lord, I would have, I could have, I should have. Present before him a woulda, coulda, shoulda life. I don't want to say that to God. Okay. So he says, run to win. Okay. And what is the winning? It is what God has called you to do. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to go spend months or, you know, go over and move to a different country. It's whatever God has chosen you to do in this season of your life. Run and run to win. Okay. Carry it all the way. In my men's prayer cell, this week, I was telling the men, I said, men, the finish line is way too close. It is. It is not 55. It is not 60. It's not 65. It's not Rufus's age, okay? It's out there, and God knows where it is. Okay. So we keep running. We don't slow down. If we are faithful in the small things, then God will entrust us to larger things. You know, Shirley and myself, over the years, we started very small in small things. But we were faithful to them, And God has seen fit to entrust larger and larger things and to release us into those larger things. Luke 16:10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." When God trusts us, how does God see that he can trust us? He trusts us over time. He doesn't just issue you trust and that's it. It's over. Let's see if you can walk in this. And when you walk, then you begin to run. God looks at our history of entrusting things to us. And when we have been faithful in those things, okay, then he releases more. We are vessels of his trust. A vessel holds precious things, and the precious things is the trust that he dispenses to us. Now, what's my calling to missions? Well, actually, it started many, many years ago, and I shared this during the Freedom Encounter. Shirley and I are first-generation Christians. My mom and dad, my grandparents, none of my uncles, none of them spoke of God in any way. But my mom and dad, they sent me to church because they wanted to make sure that I learned my manners. That was their goal. Not to be saved. Well, what's saved anyway? Just, you know, learn your manners. Okay, so in church, of course, you hear different things. And I came home one day when I was a kid, and I said, "You know, they got this thing called missions." And my mom's eyes grew really big, and she said, "We're not going there. That's too far out." And that was the final word. Okay. But, you know, God has his ways, you know. Even negative declarations, God says, "Ha, got it, okay." And he turns it positive. So here we are, 60 years later on. Okay. And during that time, I've been just so honored to go to different places in the world to do missions work in one capacity or another. Not only that, but God presses down and flows over with blessing, because in the process of that 60 years, my mom got saved. She became an elder. I married the woman who witnessed to my mom. And on top of that, okay, the cherry on top was I learned my manners. So, Shirley and I, we're currently updating our trust, which is, you know, it's a document and, you know, you call out things and so on. And the language for that is either you have a living trust or you have an irrevocable trust. Living trust is you can change it while you're alive. Irrevocable means basically once it's done, it's put in black and white. It's done and you can't change it. Well, the trust that is much more important is your eternal trust, because it is both living and it's irrevocable. Once you put something into this trust, it's not coming back out. And so we think of our living trust as being our eternal trust. Our eternal trust to our kids, to our grandkids, and to all those whose lives will be touched because of what we're doing now. And so we just want to give glory and honor to God that he gives us this season with this type of calling. And it's more exciting now than it was at the beginning. It really is. Okay, because God always reveals greater things. I'm going to turn over my speaking to my wife, honey.
I want us to just read a scripture that are very familiar to all of us. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Many of us just think about all things work together for good, but there's requirement. The requirement is that if you know you're called, and every one of us, we are called according to his purpose. The word purpose in Greek means prothesis, means there's intentionality, there's design, there is intentional plan. Now, there's some more verses that are very, very important too. Ephesians 1:11. In whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of his will. Okay? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Here we talk about purpose again. We talk about predestined. We talk about the counsel of God. So all of us, when we are spirit with the Father, we enjoy so much of his presence, his love. Now, God designed us, purposed us, planned for us with intentionality. Each one of us are unique. As we all know, snows, flakes, nothing are the same. How beautiful they are, isn't it? How wonderful, beautiful, intricate. Well, don't you think that we, as an individual, created by God, called for a purpose, how much he designed us, wonderfully and fearfully made. When he designed a beautiful car, the purpose is to what? Transportation. When he designed a desk, the purpose is for the desk, sitting there, write something. So when he designed you and I with a plan, intentionality, there is a purpose only you can achieve. No one else. Each one of us is created after God's image. We have part of his divinity, part of his image. Only you and I can fulfill. And that purpose, we are called. We are called to fulfill. What I'm sharing is this. You see, even in this secular society, they know, psychology 101, the four basic needs of mankind. First one's love, second security, third one affirmation. The number four is purpose. If we don't have purpose, the life is futile, wasted, void, no hope. See, Steve talked about running a race because you know where you're going, isn't it? Therefore, you run the race. But if we don't know our purpose, our calling, what are you running? What are we running? And also God says that he has invested in us the talents, not just talk about money. And one day we're going to face him. What are we giving back to him? How did I come to this ministry is a shocking miracle. All my life, I was trained as a musician. I was praise and worship leader. I was minister of music. I sang professionally. For 56 years, that was my life. And then one year, my son-in-law gave each one of the member of the family a book called Experiencing God. And I was so convicted. I said, God, I so much longing to experience you more. You know, you have to really watch out what you're praying. And so I said, okay, two sentences in that book really gave me, totally changed my life. One is that when the people in the world see us as being a bunch of nice people doing nice things, well, see, at that time I was in a traditional church, right? And they don't see God. Another one is that we always have been doing the things we knew what to do, what is you've been doing all along. And so I was so deeply convicted. I said, God, I really want to experience you. I want to do something that I've never done before, I've not known before. Well, there it goes. I went to Hong Kong for 1 month of mission. Guess what I did? What the Lord did, okay. Well, the second day when I went to Hong Kong, all the people signed up to pray with me, either they are needing inner healing or they're harassed by the demonic. And you, those who don't know me, I was a chicken. I was a chicken, chicken, chicken. And so there you go. He threw in the deep water. And what do? You hang on God with dear life, isn't it? You really have to depend on the Holy Spirit, on God. Well, I surely experienced God is He's powerful, He's all love, His name, His blood, even the demonic afraid of that. Well, guess what? I came back home. The Lord began to shut the doors. When prophecy was given to me, say that was 1998. The Lord is going to shut all the doors, but He's going to open new ones. Well, for sure, He shut all the music doors. We came to this church, nobody knew us. And to the year 2000, we went a mission trip with Pastor Steve, Pastor Guillermo, and there begins. There begins the ministry with a very little beginning of healing, the inner healing and deliverance. Now, why do I share that? Because as the Lord touched your heart, I forgot to tell you. When I went to Hong Kong, it was because there was sister share about Hong Kong, Singapore. And I went home, I couldn't help myself. I wept and cried for 2 days. Okay? So when the Lord touched you, we have to respond. I often wonder, if I didn't respond that, what would happen? Will I be here today? Will I be in my, when I was 56 year old, okay? 56, you guys. Older than 55. And the Lord totally shifted my life. And I feel this is my true calling. Now, second turning point was when I went last year to Patricia King's conference. Again, I saw a clip of 15 minutes of the sex trafficking. I wept and I wept for 2 days, more than 2 days, my heart just pain. I told the Lord, I said, God, is that the pain you felt? Is that the pain you cried with the tears when we saw the passion, this drop of tear? I said, Lord, if that's the case, I want to respond to your call. That was in March last year. And here I'm the third time going back to Thailand. So what I want to share is this. We're all called we're all predestined. It's never too late. Never, never too late. When I was 56, the Lord called me to do this ministry. And I would just say, I encourage each one of us. What is your purpose? Did you find your purpose? What the Lord has designed you? What is in your heart? How have the Lord touched your heart again and again? And when he touched our heart, and you know it, you cannot refuse it, you cannot deny it, you cannot escape it. And if you respond to that tugging, that pain in your heart, or just a deep, deep touch, deep in your soul, deep in your heart, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to respond? We all have a choice, isn't it? We have a choice to make. And when you make that right choice, you fall into the right purpose, the right race, the right finishing of your life on earth. And I know that here in America, we all are very complacent. We sit in a comfortable chair Sunday after Sunday. We allow Pastor Steve to spoon feed us. He is a father. His heart is so much his longing for all of us to grow up. And I just really, I'm not speaking pride. Please, please understand. But we have to be serious about our calling, about our purpose. And if you are 55 and over, you're not over. You have just barely begun. 56, the Lord shifted me. And I'm 75. As Steve said, we are what? We are more focused, more knowing, more confident about our calling, our purpose. And I have more energy, more passion. So, brothers and sisters, I just really encourage you, and just like Paul says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, offer your life on the altar as a living sacrifice. And I can assure you, when you know the purpose and when you obey and heed the calling of the Lord, you are happy, joyous, content, full of life, full of hope. And you're with a passion. You're living with a passion. I'm just going to stop right here. I prepared so many things, but time is of the limit. So can I pray for you guys? Yes. Father God, you impress upon my heart as we're worshiping, Jesus, how much you loved us and gave yourself for us. That great grace make it possible for us to be saved and called and predestined to run the race you have predestined for us. So Holy Spirit, will you stir up inside each one of us and those who are listening on the stream, that you begin to stir deep inside of our spirit. Reveal to us your purpose, your calling for each one of our lives. And I pray that you will not give them rest until they obey you. Yes, let the love that constrained Paul, let the love constrain so many of us, let the love, the deep love, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us all to stir inside and begin feel that love, agape love, in each one of us until overflows. For you made us a workmanship. That means each one of us, we are your masterpiece. We are your poetry. We are your poem. Created in Christ Jesus, the new creation, for good works. That good works you have preordained for us to walk in it. And that is your good pleasure. That is your good will. Holy Spirit, we honor you. Will you do that? Honor you. Let your kingdom come, Lord. Raise up more people. Waken, second awakening. Wake us up, Lord Jesus, to our calling, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom in this end time. May your kingdom come in us, through us, amongst us, and your perfect will be done in each one of us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Shirley. Thank